comments.
I'll call the House Committee on Rules to order and open a public hearing. Let the record show that there is a quorum present, and we're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2386 for the purpose of taking testimony from the Secretary of State, Kate Brown. So if the Secretary of State is here, she can come forward.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. For the record, Kate Brown, Secretary of State, and to my left is Amy Wilson, Civic Engagement Program Administrator. Wanted you to see her face and have her share a little bit about the work she's doing. And I promise all of you that I won't be here every day. It just so happened you had a couple of issues very exciting to me in this first week. I'm here today because I want to make voter registration as secure and hassle-free as possible. We have certainly taken great pride in Oregon leading the country on elections issues. We were one of the pioneers of the Citizen Initiative, the direct primary, and, of course, vote by mail. Today, we are asking you to again make Oregon one of the national leaders by approving online voter registration. You have before you an editorial on this topic from the Oregonian last month and some frequently asked questions, or at least it's coming, about how the state of Washington handles its online voter registration. I want to be very clear, this is not online voting. That's not allowed under Oregon law, and I think while I'm Secretary of State, I would fight any attempts for online voting. This is online voter registration. It would allow citizens to register or change some registration information, a new address, for example, without paper, without burning gasoline, and without delay. It's certainly a natural step in making the voting process easier. Most Oregonians are already confident enough to go online for many sensitive services, including paying our federal and state taxes, buying stock, doing our banking, and, of course, shopping with credit cards. It would make the process easier for the disabled community with the right computer equipment. Sightless people, for example, can register without needing the assistance of another person to fill out a card. Our voters in the military would find it a lot less delay in registering as well, and they wouldn't have to worry about a snail mail process. And it would certainly make registering easier for young people. I think we have quite a large crowd, holy smokes, in the room. Can I see the number of hands of folks under 30 in the room right now? Okay, that's fabulous. nice try, Representative Girard. Certainly young people are saying that this is a tool they'd like to have. And I might point out, and I think Representative Berger was at this hearing we had this summer, one of the issues was whether we would actually provide a stamp for our vote-by-mail ballots. And some legislators expressed concern about the cost of such stamp. But young people were asking that we do it, that we essentially provide the stamps, the franking costs, because stamps aren't part of their world. So online registration is a part of their world, and it would certainly make it easier for many folks to register. We saw a huge jump in voter turnout in the under 30 crowd last year. The turnout in the under 24 crowd during the November 08 election cycle was about 69%. Which is a lot higher than in previous election cycles. The young people still have a long way to go to catch up with folks in their 60s. The voter turnout for folks in their 60s was 95%. Other states have seen huge increase in voter registration with online registration. The state of Washington started online registration at the beginning of 2008. And they registered 158,000 voters through the online system last year. Arizona started online in 2002, and more than 70% of new voters registered in Arizona. Let's see. It's a pretty simple process. I think at this point I'd ask Ms. Wilson to show you the online voter registration process from the state of Washington. We thought we wouldn't attempt the PowerPoint and do it via document.
Chair Robin, members of the committee, this is the way that it looks in Washington.
And I won't take your time to go through all of the process, but I think what's particularly important is that there's a lot of questions about security and eligibility with voter registration. And if you look on the second page, what it requires you to do is verify your voting eligibility. And you can't see it on this because it's on the screen, but you are unable to move forward in the screens if you don't answer any of these questions correctly. So there are a lot of questions about will people be, are they going to be eligible? And this is sort of more secure than our paper registration because it doesn't allow you to move forward. So you know very clearly that you're not eligible to vote. And then the rest of the stuff is pretty straightforward. I think there's about 8 screens. And this is what it looks like when you go to register online in Washington.
Lastly, of course, as you might expect, there are some costs involved with the system. They are not major. We will need to pay for the signature transfer from DMV to elections. We think that runs about $17,000. And there would be also an additional cost of getting the DMV data on a regular basis. But we are expecting that it would qualify for HAVA funding because it's an improvement to the state registration system. And we need to enhance the Oregon Central Voter Registration Database. We don't have a final estimate, but we can certainly get you those figures as quickly as possible. So quickly, hassle-free for online registration and change of registration information, as secure, if not more secure, than in writing, and minimal general fund costs. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
So are there any questions from members? Okay, the only one I would ask, Washington obviously does the same thing that we do and that they, in that verification process that you're making, you recognize it is a felony if you were to give information. In our case, that is it the same felony?
The felony as well. I believe it's a Class C. Arizona's had online voter registration for 5 years. They've had no issues of fraud in that 5-year period. Washington's been online for 1 year. They've had no issues. It's a Class C offense. It's a deportable offense. The penalties are very serious.
Thank you very much. And yes, Representative Garrard.
Just a quick question, Madam Secretary. I'm assuming that a person could vote from any computer.
Register,
Mr. Chair.
Register. I'm sorry.
Yes. Okay. As long as you have access to online. And it ties in, Mr. Chair, Representative Garrard, with our the electronic information we have in the Department of Motor Vehicles. So folks would have had to gone online or would have had to gone and gotten their driver's license first.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much both
thank
for
you.
Being
I
here.
I also wanted to say thank you to, I would say, my former colleague, Representative Ben Cannon, for his leadership on this issue. He's doing great work. So thank you.
Thank you. And now I'm going to open, we've already opened a hearing for House Bill 2386. We are now going to open a hearing for House Bill 2387 and for H.J.R. 5. And we'll have Representative Cannon and Representative Smith. And for the rest of the audience as well, we're going to keep all three open so that if you have testimony, we'll bring all three of the others up here. We'll let you speak to any and all of them at the same time. I know that there were multiple people speaking on multiple issues, and it seems easier to just have you come up once and then not go back and forth, but we'll take testimony today just to make that easier. So with that, Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. I'm Ben Cannon, State Representative, House District 46. My staff certainly appreciate the fact that you're hearing three of our four pre-session filed bills on the same day at the same time. It's been a busy day in my office. Thank you in particular to my legislative aide, Christy Split, for helping not just today but over the previous weeks on this effort. I think it's probably appropriate to start with the success that Oregon has had in increasing access to the ballot. And vote by mail, as the Secretary mentioned, is, I think, a particularly notable example of that success. But it's also my position, I think many of us would agree, that the system can still be perfected when we wonder why some eligible citizens don't vote, we should consider some of the hurdles that prospective voters may face. Those hurdles include a voter registration deadline that's 3 weeks before Election Day, the need to find a registration card to register to vote, the hunt for postage to turn that voter registration card in if you're sending it through the mail, and the hunt for a ballot stamp in the era of online bill pay. Moving during the last 2 weeks before an election, even for registered voters, people who are already registered, moving can create additional obstacles, long lines at the election office in the last days before an election, and that's true even for registered voters. Now, each of these hurdles has a good purpose, I would say, generally intended to safeguard the integrity of our election system. And I come to you with these three bills because I believe that we can, in fact, lower the hurdles to the ballot while preserving or even enhancing integrity, the safety of our election system. So I'm going to walk very quickly through the three bills that you have before you today. One of these, House Joint Resolution 5, is standard fare each session. This is the constitutional referral, which does away with the current registration deadline 20 days prior to the election. We know this as same-day registration. We also know that states that have same-day registration have the highest turnout among eligible voters. So Minnesota leads the pack. 78.2% of eligible voters turned out in 2008 compared to 67% in Oregon. Maine with same-day registration at 71%. Wisconsin with same-day registration with 72.5%. It is an election reform that beats Oregon's own vote-by-mail system, and we're sort of the silver standard. This same-day registration would take us to gold. The second bill, House Bill 2387, is a bill that would permit a county to adopt an ordinance that would allow for the county to pay all or part of the expenses associated with the postage for ballot return. So current law requires the voter to pay for postage. This in counties are prohibited from adopting such an ordinance to pay for some or all of the postage. You may have heard the news late last year, news that I heard because I was on Representative Chris Edwards' email list, that Lane County had issues with ballot postage. And I don't know, I'm not an expert on what happened there, and I think that Representative Edwards may be addressing that through separate legislation later this session. There may be folks here who talk about it, but what I do know is that the size and weight of these ballots meant that it required additional postage beyond the regular stamp, and that created confusion and certainly problems for voters down there. Similarly, during the 2000, or sort of separately but relatedly, during the primary election in 2008, the U.S. Postal Service increased the price of a first-class stamp, and that created, I know for some of my constituents, confusion and concern that their ballots would not be delivered. So quick thinking and close collaboration between county clerks and the U.S. Postal Service meant, to my knowledge, that ballots were delivered, but it did leave me thinking that we could do better. We should make it possible for counties to, under the law, pay for some or all of the postage associated with ballots. Finally, quickly to address House Bill 2368, the online voter registration bill that the Secretary of State introduced a moment ago. I want to echo her and thank Kate Brown for her support. She and her staff have been instrumental in working with DMV and HAVA, the Help America Votes Act, to make this even possible. So it's because of her leadership on this that we're able to sit here and have what I think will be a very constructive conversation about how to move online registration forward in Oregon. I want to be clear, this bill, and I think you got this from her testimony, this bill would not replace our current voter registration system. It would add to it. This would create a new option for folks looking to vote. It directs the Secretary of State to develop an electronic voter registration system, directs the Department of Transportation to share the signature of the voter registering online with the Secretary of State. I was recently asked where my interest in this bill came from. It actually came from an email just I got out of the blue from a student at Reed College named Joey Mornin. I described what's going on in Arizona and Washington with voter registration. It came from my legislative aide's enthusiasm, Christie's enthusiasm for the DMV change of address system. You can go online, change your DMV address quickly and easily, as well as my own long-standing belief that we should voter registration should not be a barrier to civic engagement. Finally, I want to highlight the stats that I think you got a sense of from Secretary Brown. In Arizona, which has the longest experience with electronic registration, in 2007, 72% of Arizonans, new Arizonan registrants, registered online. So the system not only works, not only is safe, but is popular. This has proved to be a popular way for Arizonans to register to vote. Upon implementing it back in 2003, Arizona saw a 9.5% increase in voter registration. I wouldn't claim that all of that could be attributed necessarily to online voter registration, but significant that year over year, their registrations increased by 9.5% when they adopted online registration. You're going to hear testimony today from organizations such as the League for Women Voters, Democracy Reform Oregon, AFSCME, Osberg, OSA, and others. Especially want to thank the Oregon Bus Project. Their work has registered over 40,000 voters since 2006, and they brought many of Oregon's brightest young people down here today. I am also honored to be joined by our own Representative Jefferson Smith, and he's been working with me on these ideas for some time, and really grateful for his support today. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and the rest of the committee, and I'm hoping I can turn it over to Representative Smith and then take questions after he testifies.
That would be great. Representative Smith.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thanks very much. Representative Cannon, thank you so much.
For the record. Who are you?
My name is Jefferson Smith, and I am representative from District 47, and this is my first time testifying before a committee as a legislator on day three of week three of my legislative career. And so far in that legislative career, I've observed that advocates talk to legislators using at least two types of arguments, ideological and data-driven. We're strongest, I suspect, when we counsel in both directions. Ideologically, I recognize that some of this comes down to how much we value access to democracy, and I submit and admit that I share a fundamental belief in our state's commitment to encouraging civic participation of every eligible and willing Oregon citizen. But let me move to some of the data. Today we're talking about voting. There will be lots of conversations this session, I hope there will be even more, about how we can make Oregon a continued leader in civic participation generally. Today we're talking about voting, which in my view is the gateway drug to political involvement. When people do it, they are more likely to do more. When people vote, they are more likely to get more deeply involved in their communities. Oregon is nationally recognized for its voter engagement efforts, including great campus community efforts. I want to recognize groups like the New Voters Project, the Oregon Student Association. I also want to welcome and congratulate members of the Bus Project for last week winning a coveted nonpartisan Reed Award from Politics Magazine for the best Get Out the Vote plan in the nation. Some of these award winners will be testifying soon. It is to their credit that passage of some of this legislation might put some of their voter registration efforts out of business, and it is to their credit that they are more committed to democracy than their own organizational priorities. I must admit that in the last several years, I have embarrassingly dressed up as an eagle, Uncle Sam, John Stossel, a yard sign, and led armies of witches, Draculas, and zombies through the streets of Portland in unabashedly crazed efforts to reach, register, and turn out Oregon voters. But we bring this bill today and to some extent come to Salem at all, because grassroots efforts can only do so much. There are some improvements to voter access that are best granted, even only granted, by the government itself. Democracy cannot thrive on ghosts and zombies alone. Secretary Brown, Representative Canada, supported these claims with ample research and data. I will offer only two additional points. First, number one. That was Oregon's rank in 2004 in terms of the largest gap between older and younger voter turnout in the country. Tied only with Kansas, we had the biggest gap between older turnout and younger turnout, or turnout of older and younger voters. That is not to say that we are a low voter turnout state. In fact, we are a relatively high voter turnout state. but we are very high among older voters and barely adequate among younger voters. In part, this is probably due to vote by mail, which works very well for people with stable addresses, but young people move around a lot and don't have any stamps. Second, 600,000. That's the number of eligible Oregonians who are not registered to vote. Certainly, some have chosen not to participate, but most of them, when asked, can provide simple explanations that illuminate the gaps in our registration process. Rural voters will tell you they couldn't make the time to drive into the post office or the county seat to fill out a registration card. Many voters will say that when they register, it's the first time someone asked them. Others will say it's just a little bit of a hassle. HGR 5 allows for Election Day registration. Researchers have explained that it's the most proven way of increasing voter participation among young people that there is. On another day, I hope we will discuss one-stop voter registration, which gets citizens registered unless they opt out. House Bill 2387 allows counties the freedom to pay for their own constituents' ballot postage. All I will add to this are two thoughts. One is that only government can fix this, because independent civic engagement efforts aren't allowed to give out stamps. It's bribery. With opinions we've received is that you're not allowed to provide somebody who, for whom it would be a hassle or for whom doesn't have a lot of extra money or even 40 additional cents, you can't give them a stamp. And we need not require as a state that stamps be Oregon's micro poll tax. And last, House Bill 2368 creates an online registration system. We can remember very briefly ago Representative Cannon's testimony on this bill, the stat that he gave about Arizona, in 2007, 72% of Arizona registrants registered online. This offers some great motivation. The bus has had a sister organization in Washington work within the system, and Republican Secretary of State Sam Reed is a strong supporter of it, and I believe at some point, if asked, can provide at least written testimony. My costume today is not as entertaining as those of Halloween's past. The message overlaps. Let's build a movement around voter participation, democracy, and secure, hassle-free voting. Moving away from my prepared words, let me say that one thing that unites many of the people on the panel, who I really do appreciate your time and leeway in testifying today, and Representative Berger's father has participated in one of the best examples of Oregon, setting an example of the nation of what a place can be like. In my own view, there is no better place for Oregon to try to set that example than in access to democracy. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and happy to respond to questions. Okay.
Representative Berger.
Quick question. Thank you for the, you know, your passion around this, both of you gentlemen. On the stamp issue, I'm asking a little bit, have you explored a constitutional question around if one county gives you a stamp and another county doesn't? You see where I'm going? Did you ask that?
Yeah, I have begun to explore that question. Can't bring you any definite answers about the constitutionality. I think it's an important question, a consideration. There's a part of me that thinks this will have probably only a very modest effect on voter participation. I guess that could be a reason for saying, well, don't do it, right? If it's going to be minuscule. There's another part of me that says, well, it might have a modest enough effect that you start putting, there's some competition between counties to see who offers it, who's willing to pay for the postage, who's able to pay for the postage. I recognize that could be a concern. It's certainly an area that we should explore. Thank you.
Representative Edwards.
Representative Berger asked my question.
Oh, Representative Girard.
Representative Berger asked my question. I'll congratulate Representative Smith on his first testimonial appearance. You did very well.
Thank you very much.
If I could comment that he is costumed very appropriately.
I must credit Representative Reed, who admonished me to wear a tie today, and I appreciate that suggestion.
I didn't get the memo.
Respond to the previous question. There are those among us who might propose the state just pay for stamps. These are not the economic times where we wanted to bring that proposal. I do think that we might move in that direction when the dollars are slightly more robust.
One other comment I would like to make is that in moving forward in, say, voter registration online, do you envision a system of voting online that would be secure and would satisfy Mr. Lund back there, who's smiling at me, saying, oh, please, Berger, don't go there.
Representative Berger, Mr. Chair, I think I can theorize about the beauty of an online voting system. I have not seen any such system that would be practicable in Oregon today. So certainly we're not bringing that to you because I don't think we could pull it off in 2009 in Oregon. In theory, in some sort of perfect world, would that be neat? Yeah, I think that would probably be a step forward.
So only for the record, while our state is certainly in financially troubled times and we're not in a position to be paying for postage, I just wanted to state that neither are our counties, especially our timber-dependent counties.
And, Mr. Chair and Representative Edwards, I think it is a point worth spending some time on. When we think of the potentially disparities between counties, as we explore that issue, I hope we'd explore the fact that some counties have more libraries that are return sites for ballots, too. I mean, the disparate resources between counties create other potential inequities in access to the ballot, including how convenient is it to get a registration form, how many post office box libraries are available, how convenient is it to turn a ballot in by going to a post office to a library. So I agree it's an issue. I think it's an issue that may go even beyond what's envisioned in this bill.
Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Have you contemplated in discussing the pros and cons of having different counties do different things, whether or not there might be room for political manipulation in terms of counties that are making the choice to provide postage if they have a county commission that's all one party or another, and how that might impact voter turnout and therefore election results?
I think that my guess was that was sort of the kind of underpinnings of Representative Berger's original question on the point, and I agree that is one of the considerations that we should have as we think about moving this bill forward and examine whether, in fact, this would run afoul of sort of constitutional one person, one vote kinds of laws. It's certainly an issue to keep in mind. Again, I think it goes broader than just paying for postage. I mean, if we're going to have that discussion, let's talk about how many drop sites there are in a county and whether that impacts voter turnout and whether someone in Josephine County where the libraries are shut down has less access to the ballot than someone in Multnomah County who can walk, you know, 10 or 15 blocks to the nearest library.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
And if you wish to stay, we'd love to have you stay.
Thanks very much.
In most of our committees, and in this one in particular, we do care that some people drive many miles to get here. And so in our inviting people forward, we usually look, and there's a little line for people to check if they've been over 100 miles. There were two such people in the audience, so we're going to let them go next. One was Alex, is it Coulter? Cutler?
Kyler.
Is that, and the other, there was one other. And the other was Kelly Carthrow, OSA. Kelly, do you want to go come up at the same time? You can sit up here at the counter right now. And you can speak on which one, but please make sure that when you address which bills you're going to speak to and your name and so on. So, Kelly, you want to go first?
Thank you, Chair Roblin and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kelly Horvath, and I am the student body president at Southern Oregon University and this year's board chair for the Oregon Student Association Board of Directors. I thank you for the opportunity to speak today. The Oregon Student Association represents over 100,000 students at public universities and community colleges across the state. And I'm here to speak in support of House Bill 2386 and in favor of an electronic voter registration system for Oregon, for obvious reasons. Some of those students actually are sitting behind me. In 1998, Oregon took a big step towards a more accessible electoral process when it became the first state in the country to establish a vote-by-mail system. over winter break, I got to visit with some relatives from Oklahoma and Colorado, different states, and when I was talking to them about the work that I did fall term with voter registration, they were really impressed by the system that Oregon has adopted to make its electoral process more accessible. While the manifold benefits, though, of vote by mail are plain to see, there are some drawbacks that receive less attention. Transient populations, such as students, are challenged by a system that requires a permanent mailing address, as has been mentioned. And students like myself often move around a lot, so every time that we move, we have to re-register. Because ballots can't be forwarded from a previous address, and because little FAT is paid to voting over summer vacation for many students, students return to campus each school year with outdated voter registration information, and in presidential years, like this one, less than 3 weeks to update in time for November elections, which creates quite a big voter registration drive for those of us who are involved this fall. Also, many students have a majority of classes online some terms, and it would be vastly more accessible for them to be able to register to vote online. While I recognize that students are the ones ultimately responsible for maintaining their voter registration, electronic voter registration will merely remedy one of the deficiencies of Oregon's vote-by-mail system by making it so all eligible citizens can register to vote using a computer. House Bill 2386, in other words, will remove undue difficulty faced by many Oregonians who are just trying to fulfill that duty. We should also take a moment to consider Senate Bill 951, which passed last session. Since that time, students and administrators across Oregon at colleges and community colleges have been working to institutionalize the process of voter registration on campuses. I can only imagine how much more accessible voter registration could be to students if 2386 passed. So I would encourage all of you to support this bill, and I welcome any questions at this time.
Any questions? Okay. Well, thank you very much. You can stay there while our other person takes something. Alex.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, I'm Alex Kyler. I'm the Intergovernmental Relations Manager for Lane County. And I should probably plead the fifth or something. I am 150 miles or thereabouts on a round-trip commute.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
I wasn't going to out you. I thought, wait, I know how long it takes to...
I wanted to... This particular measure, I'm speaking today to House Bill 2387, and I want to be clear, Chair Roman, that I'm not speaking for or against this bill. The Lane County Board of Commissioners has not taken a position on this bill, but I did want to clarify what did happen back in October around this. As was indicated in previous testimony, Representative Edwards was quick to hit the send button. We also got from another representative named Peter DeFazio a piece of snail mail that was largely critical of what had happened in Lane County as well. And so I just wanted to clarify what did happen is that there was discussion at the board about the issue related to the overweight ballots. And that's outlined in the minutes on the latter part of my document that I've handed out here. But we did take steps, and the county council did let folks know. She's in the notes here under Richardson. That's Leanne Richardson. There was a motion made that that the elections clerk should get with the post office and indicate that Lane County would cover the costs of any overweight ballots that were held up for postage. And in fact, Leanne started talking about that she thought that there was limits, that we could not actually do that. That afternoon, she drafted the board order that you've got on the top here, and it speaks to the Board of County Commissioners authorizing my boss, the county administrator, to confer with the U.S. Postal Service. So that conference did take place. My understanding is that there was never any ballots returned for insufficient postage, nor was there any invoice ever submitted to Lane County for payment for overweight ballots. So at some point in time, if the Postal Service did indeed incur some additional costs, they didn't charge Lane County nor the voters for that likely trying to sort of avoid the spotlight that this issue brings up from time to time and probably will again in the future. So I just wanted to clarify, in fact, I was under the impression that we had agreed to pay for postage, and in fact that was not the case, that it was that the county did have a conversation with the Postal Service and the results were that nobody's voting rights were impacted as far as we know.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Thank you both. So just so people understand order, what I have done, we opened the hearing on House Bill 2386 first. So I'm going to go down that page. Most of the people on the others will be taken care of by the time we get down that page because they're on both places. So, and then we'll move to make sure everybody has had a chance to speak. So with that, Joe Basler and Hannah Fisher can come up.
Ladies first, great. Okay. Chair Roblin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Hannah Fisher, and I am the student body president at Portland State University. I also sit on the board of directors for the Oregon Student Association and represent over 100,000 post-secondary education students here in Oregon, and I am here today to speak in favor of HB 2386. I'm going to go a little bit down memory lane to kind of explain why I think it's very important that we adopt electronic voter registration. In the early years of our country, votes were verbal. The few elites who were granted suffrage gathered around a county courthouse or town square and spoke the name of the person they wanted to be elected to office and voted. In the 19th century, printed paper ballots with checkboxes were introduced to access to the polls. Became more common for other people who weren't granted suffrage before. After that, gear and lever voting became available to increase security. Over 2.5 centuries, the means of voting in the United States have changed as technology has allowed it to, and as the social context has occurred in which is needed to happen. This is why House Bill 2386 is so important for Oregon's college students. I have asked hundreds, if not thousands, of students to register to vote during this year's election cycle. And actually, there are numerous students behind me who have joined in coalition to help register people to vote. So I would like you to raise your hand if you helped in the coalition effort to register students to vote. We are all here because we have heard very common stories from students. One of them being, well, I'll just do it later and register online. I cannot tell you how many times I asked a student to vote and they thought that they could do it online. That's because everything we do is online. Our financial aid applications are online. Our scholarship applications are online. We register for class online. We assume that everything we do is automatically online. To kind of touch base on a personal note, I surprisingly, even though I registered hundreds of students to vote, I had to wait in line in election day, during election day, to vote. And that's because my voter registration card was illegible, because I don't write as clearly as I speak. that's up for debate, but. And even more surprising than that was, as I walked out of the county elections office, I ran into two football players from my university who actually had the same problem. And I was incredibly surprised. And I think it's because a lot of the writing we do, unlike our forefathers who wrote with a quill, is actually typed. So we don't handwrite very often, and sometimes it's a problem, and for us three it was. So that's a kind of a personal anecdote as to why I think it's very important that we adopt electronic voter registration. I would like to echo the sentiments that have been voiced so far. The difficulties that currently exist in the maintenance of voter registration don't need to exist, and they can be fixed. This is one way of doing so. It is certainly a positive step forward in making civic participation easier and more accessible to all citizens. House Bill 2386 would greatly reduce the time and energy behind registering to vote legally and reliably. Please vote in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Any questions? None?
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Joe Basler. I work for Oregon, the Oregon American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees, or AFSCME. I'm testifying on behalf, in favor of both HB 2386 and HB 2387. To start with the online registration, 86. I just want to, we do a lot of voter registration of our members. We work really hard. We have a great group of a small caucus in our union called our Next Wave Caucus, and they're young members, and they focus a lot on voter registration every 2 years. And the biggest complaint I had from them this last year is, why can't we just do this online? Well, why aren't we doing this online? Or they actually went online, printed off the form, and then didn't understand that they had to mail it in. So we have like Good Shepherd Hospital in Hermiston. We had a huge problem there because folks live great distances, so it's hard to track them down, go to their house. And then OHSU in Portland, they have clinics all over the city, and their shifts are different, and they don't match up, and a lot of people don't want to hang out on top of the hill because they know they take them 2 hours to drive down every day. So this would be a big step towards helping folks register easier, more efficiently, and more securely, hopefully. In terms of the postage, HB 2387, I'm really excited to hear that Representative Edwards has some ideas and some solutions. We think this is a good step. I don't know if it's the right solution. I do know that we have about over 1,000 members in Lane County, and when the scare came out, I want to call it a scare because it was about 2 days of panicked emails and calls from our folks saying, oh my goodness, is my ballot going to get returned to me? What's happening? Do I need to put an extra stamp? What's going on? What's the information? Giving the counties a solution to this problem, I think, is really important. That's all I got. Thanks.
Any questions for either of our witnesses? Seeing none, thank you both.
Chair Roblin, just
yes.
To clarify, by election day, I meant the last day to register to vote.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. And now, I think we have three chairs, so it looks like I can do some threes. Henry Kramer, Molly Ruskin, and Sophie Thompson. I think with the three of you, you all indicated representing bus projects, so we'll let all three of you go, and then we'll ask questions of the group. Okay. Thanks.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Henry Kramer. I'm here to testify in favor of House Bill 2386 and House Joint Resolution 5. I'd like to speak briefly about the same-day voter registration, Joint Resolution 5. First, statistics compiled by the organization DEMOS indicate that same-day voter registration is the very best thing a government can do to increase voter turnout. Based on information compiled since 1980, same-day voter registration states have voter turnout of eligible voting population about 10% higher than states without. Other statistics have been mentioned by Representative Cannon, Secretary Brown, Representative Smith. Enactment of that here would essentially put my organization out of the voter registration business, and we welcome that with open arms. I would now like to briefly talk about how online voter registration would benefit voters as a whole, and particularly how it would benefit young voters, the bus project's primary constituency. As mentioned before, Oregonians are doing most of their business online. We shop online. We register for classes online. We apply for college online. We apply for jobs online. And a discovery I recently made is an 18-year-old man in Oregon can register for Selective Service online, but currently cannot register to vote. I have personal trouble imagining two things that are more patriotic than offering to serve your country or offering to help decide its direction. And it would make sense to me and to my organization to have the same procedure for both of those. The ubiquity of online business doing is even more severe for young folks. According to the Young Voter Strategies survey of 18 to 30-year-olds, approximately 90% of people age 18 to 30 are online or use email. 70% do it on a daily basis. Were we to enact that, it's the results, as statistics have mentioned before, are staggering. 28% in the first year that Washington enacted it, 72% in Arizona right now. And by placing voter registration online, not only can we open up government to a whole new constituency, a whole new generation, we can also send the message to that generation that if they want to participate in their government, we want them there. Thank you very much, and I'll take questions afterwards. I also, Sophie Thompson is with us. She knows more about voter registration than I do. She was one of the individuals who put the costumes on Representative Jefferson Smith, and she'll be happy to answer any questions.
Project here in support of House Bill 2386. From March to June 2008, I registered voters as a volunteer with the bus project, and from June until October as a paid staff member. In this time, I registered approximately 500 people to vote. I won't spend time reiterating the facts and figures brought up by others, but speak very briefly of my personal experience registering voters. We spent approximately 3 to 4 hours a day, every day, out on the streets talking to potential voters, primarily young people. And in those 3 to 4 hours, we registered on average 12 to 15 people. And so that 500 people that I registered to vote represented the many, many, many hours spent out talking to voters and having very similar conversations over and over again. I know through those conversations and through our partners and allies at Rock the Vote that there is a huge demand for online registration. Last in 2008, over 4 million people logged on to the Rock the Vote website to register online, but only 2.4 million of those people took the next step of actually printing the form out and sending it in, which is, of course, the most important of those steps.
Did you say those numbers?
Would you repeat those last two numbers?
Of course, yeah. Over 4 million people logged on to the Rock the Vote website, and they reported 2.4 million people went to send those forms back in nationally. So I would say that the demand is there among people, especially among young people. The access is there with the Internet, and this could be a step that Oregon could take that could really lead the nation and help increase the accessibility and the efficiency of voter registration.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Molly Ruskin. I'm appearing to you today as a volunteer for the bus project. I'm here to testify in favor of House Bill 2386. I spent a tremendous number of months leading up to the election registering voters, and while the bus project's focus is in registering young people, I worked specifically to help enfranchise those of more underserved communities, was working mostly in communities of color and low-income parts of the Portland metro area. From those experiences, I do believe that online voter registration is something that will be very important in opening the democratic process up to those who particularly have been underserved in the past. I really feel that if we want to encourage all eligible and interested voters, we have to have diverse and varied options for registration that mirror the different ways that people engage in our society. The online option would address this accessibility, and while it doesn't address all of the challenges that underserved constituencies face, I believe it's one step in the right direction to help these sorts of folks. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of my experiences. While working in underrepresented communities, I faced two significant challenges during voter registration. The first and foremost was routine encounters with distrust. I was a stranger to these people, a well-intentioned stranger nonetheless, but I was someone who was about to take some very personal information from them, and they had no reason necessarily to believe that I was going to be delivering it to the right person in the appropriate way. I firmly believe that our online registration, while difficult for some underserved folks to have access to, is an option that can help them feel more secure with their private information and not have to be interacting and putting up information that they don't feel comfortable sharing with someone like myself. My second challenge was that resources are limited. Finding stamps, finding registration cards, printing those forms is something that's not necessarily easy and something that can be fit into the schedule of someone working long hours. And in this regard, I very much feel that online registration can be useful. While I said that these people might not necessarily have access to computers in their homes, some of the registration that I did in particular was to be working with social service agencies and educational institutions, people who are working with these folks on a day-to-day basis. I spent a tremendous amount of time training them on how to register their clients and their constituencies. And if this work could happen in a way that they would just connect them with their computer right there, they could hook them up instantly with the registration materials, and there would need to be no follow-up. Whereas a lot of times I found that in my work there were lost forms and miscommunications, and these people for whom civic engagement signified something very significant were often getting lost in the shuffle. The final challenge that I found very frequently was that I spent hours upon hours crisscrossing the city of Portland, driving from service agency to school back again over and over so that I could pick up and deliver cards from people. And while I'm very glad to have done the work, I think of all the people that I could have had access to had had those people just been able to register right online. One day, in particular, the very last day to register to vote, I drove from every quadrant of Portland, the far corners of every quadrant, twice, once almost to Clackamas County to pick up 6 registration cards, which was in the good name of democracy, but it would be nice if those people could have just registered online. Thank you so much for your time, and I really encourage you to vote for this bill.
Yes, Representative Garrett.
Any one of the three can respond. I have my driver's license, and I'm going to register online. What's going to catch me from registering 50 times with online registration?
My understanding in that because it is linked to your driver's license and because you're listing your driver's license number, I imagine you could try to list the number twice, but we only have one number on record. So it would only allow you to register once.
Follow?
Yep.
Knowing the track record for DMV, that's not real comforting.
I can
add as well. I would have to check with the Secretary of State, of course, that my understanding is that in the state of Oregon, if you are registered to vote and you are unsure, maybe it's been a few years since the last time you registered and you're unsure if that information is current, you can re-register and it just goes in place of it. It doesn't mean that you receive an additional ballot in the mail. It's just to ensure that your registration information is current and is in the system.
And if you have further questions, I can follow up with your office.
That was a very good response. Thank you.
She's much better at this than I am.
Other questions? Seeing none, thank you all.
Thank you.
So next we have, is it Brittany Bonnet, Stephen Lazick, and Melissa Champion? Chapman.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Brittany Bonnet, and I am 18 years old. I'm a senior at Tualatin High School, and I am here to testify in favor of House Bill 2386. During the election cycle, I spent a good amount of my time going to other high schools in the Portland metro area and giving presentations, helping to encourage young people not just to get involved in the democratic process, but also to register them to vote so that they would be able to participate in this year's election. My main goal was to inspire the young people to want to be involved, and most of them were very inspired. They very much wanted to be involved, and when I asked them how to get other people to want to register and to want to be involved, they said almost always their answer was online registration. Most young people don't even understand why there isn't already online registration. I learned lots of lessons giving those presentations, the first of which was that high school students spend most of their time online, to the extent that most of us have internet on our cell phones. We do our homework online. We apply to college online. Most job applications are online now only. You can't even apply for a job on paper in most places. And also, I think it would be pretty safe to say that my peers do not know where the county elections office is, but they do, in fact, know how to get onto Google and type in register to vote, and it would probably very easily come up. So most people of my generation, especially right now, they want to believe in our government, and the more that we can access these services, the more that they can believe that the government is here for them. If it were as easy for us to register to vote as it is for us to apply to college, I'm sure that more young people would want to be involved. And with online registration, we can help to bring the next generation into the political process and increase the youth electorate pretty substantially. With online voter registration, we could easily link the registration to school websites, which I frequent my high school website. Also, other websites that high school students tend to frequent. I'm sure MySpace did a lot of impact-type things like that, and they would be on board. With the increased access, I'm sure that it would send a message to young people that the government wants to help them, that they're on their side, and that they're current and willing to help them as much as possible to be involved. Also, most of my peers are intimidated very much by the registration form. It does tend to resemble a standardized test. It looks scary. It looks like a lot of information that we don't have, and they're very afraid to fill it out. For some reason, we're not afraid to fill out any forms online, though, if it's that easy. It is silly, but I've heard it from several students. So an online registration form would definitely cater, especially to high school students, and it would portray to young people like myself that the government is accessible for everyone. Also, studies have shown that voting is habit-forming. If you vote twice in an election consecutively, you're much more likely to vote in all of the elections for the rest of your life. However, the only way to start that process is to be registered to vote. So an online registration would obviously be a great way to start that process. So I would like to encourage you to vote for House Bill 2386, help grow our youth electorate. So Chair Roblin, members of the committee, thank you very much.
And I just want to note that it scares me to look at the computer and fill out the form. But yeah, paper is so much easier.
So. Chair Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Stephen Lezak. I am 15 years old, and I am a sophomore at Catlin Gable, which is in Portland, Oregon. And I support House Bill 2386. Last November and October, I started up a voter registration initiative at my own high school with the goal of making sure that every eligible voter in the senior class of that year would be able to vote in the presidential election that was held in November. During that, I really, when I first started, I have to say, I think it was, my head was in the clouds quite a bit, because I soon realized how unrealistic it would be for me to be able to contact every single student in the school with a registration card, a pen, and a clipboard in person. The school has a student body of 297 students, so it's a lot of people, and it's relatively small for many schools. Yet, this whole time while I was thinking about how to best access every student in the school and register them to vote, there was an email list that is used in the school's email network where I can type in class of 2009 and send an email, and every single student in the school in the class of 2009 will get the same email. And were there an online registration, I could have done that and effectively registered every eligible student in the school in 5 minutes instead of the many hours it took me dealing with the administration to finally get that same 5 minutes at a school-wide assembly where I passed out clipboards frantically. I know of many similar student-led registration initiatives at their own high schools, and students have encountered the same difficulties because registering to vote is not high on the list of priorities of most high school students. I believe that were this bill passed and were there a site that could be linked in an email, in an address that students could go onto and register to vote in as little time as it took them to apply for college or check their email or their MySpace, that voter turnout in Oregon would significantly increase, and my generation, the student generation, would have significantly better representation in Salem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Melissa Chapman. I'm here today to support House Bill 2386. And this, too, is my first time testifying. In 2008, I worked with the Oregon Bus Project in registering 23,000 voters, 20,000 of whom were under the age of 35. Of that number, I registered 3,000 with my hands in this clipboard. I have many points scribbled here, many of which have already been iterated by my colleagues so eloquently, but I did want to support Molly Ruskin's assertion that we spent hours and many resources traveling to these places. We reached 34 high schools during the 2008 session, and to get to those high schools, we traveled many, many miles. And with the adoption of this technology, it would achieve the same goals of the bus: voter education, increased access, greater participation in the process with drastically less resources and reduced carbon footprint. It would allow an organizer like myself to educate a student leader such as Stephen or Brittany on the technicalities of the card, then merely pass on a link, as Stephen was speaking of, that he could then pass on to members of his class and educate them, for instance, during the first 5 minutes of an assembly. Yes, I just wanted to support that this is not removing options, it's merely creating them. And having worked within the realm, I do believe that it's not a question of if, but when, that we adopt this technology. Representative Garrard, I also wanted to take the opportunity to speak to your question that you had asked the former people up here. I spoke this morning with Russell Castleman, who works in the Elections Division in Washington, and he is one of the leads on having developed and implemented the online voter registration. And he did say, when I asked what problems have arisen, the one thing that he said was that there is no way to track, at this moment, there is no way to track whether or not people have registered multiple times. It ended up that some people registered 3, 4, or 5 times. But that is a problem that they're actively working on, and they're hoping to solve it via a tracking number method, so that each time that a person registered to vote online, they would be given a specific tracking number, which would link to their license, and so in that way, being able to eliminate registering twice.
Thank you.
And one other thing, I know a question surrounding this is security, right? And so people have taken the measures to link voter registration to having a secure license within the state. This would not allow people who did not have a license within the state to it would not prevent them from registering to vote. They could still use the same paper form that we use today. So, thank you.
Any other questions? Well, thank you, all three of you, for being here. I appreciate it. Next, we have Kathy Eaton, Janice Thompson, and David Rosenfeld. Thank you, and I'll let you guys decide which order, or we can go in the order I called you. So,
Chair Rubland, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Kathy Eaton. I'm the governance coordinator for the League of Women Voters of Oregon. You all know that the League is a nonpartisan, grassroots political organization which encourages civic participation in government. A little background, after 3/4 of a century of trying to get the vote, the League of Women Voters was established on Valentine's Day in 1920, and finally in August of that year, we got the vote. So it's not surprising that one of our major principles is making sure that the voting process is as simple and efficient as possible to allow access to democratic government. I'm going to speak about all three bills while I'm here. With regard to 2386, the League supports easy access to voter registration as proposed in House Bill 2386. We had some issues regarding the implementing of the electronic system. The Secretary of State answered the questions about the cost there might be in implementing that, and I note that it is referred to the Ways and Means Committee to look at that. We appreciate this ability to comment on that particular bill today. With regard to House Bill 2387, during the informational hearing last summer that's already been alluded to, there was a lively discussion about the ability of young people to cast their mail ballots. It was pointed out that college students in particular rarely have stamps, and they lead very busy lives. It was harder for them to get their ballots returned. There were skeptics in that audience who couldn't believe that young persons couldn't find the convenient drop boxes placed around campuses or in downtown areas. In an unscientific survey, I asked my three college grandchildren if and how they voted. One used a campus drop box, one used the county elections office, and the other one mailed hers in. While the League has no specific position concerning the postage, which could be paid by the counties, we do believe that in today's economic situation and the crisis in local government finances, there is not sufficient funding for supporting HB 2387 at this time. Even though it is only enabling legislation, it doesn't seem quite appropriate, and the issue of equity has already been raised in your discussion today. The difference between counties and their ability to provide postage. We strongly support the Oregon vote by mail system, and given election proposals which can enlarge the ballot and increase postage, we recognize the need for discussion about mailing costs. The League, however, does not feel that HB 2387 is warranted at this time. And with regard to the constitutional amendment, HJR 5, which would allow citizens to register to vote on the same day. For many years, the League has had this position in their support. We do support the idea of Election Day voter registration. We opposed the 20-day cutoff when it was proposed because we felt it prevented open access to some potential voters. Our position has not changed in that regard. However, we do recognize that county elections officials have significant problems with the number of voters who might come that day to register to vote, and there are already problems with so many people turning in their ballots that day, so we wanted to raise that question. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Janice Thompson, Democracy Reform Oregon, nonprofit, nonpartisan group focused on accessible politics, accountable government. Speaking in support of 2386 and supportive / intrigued with 2387, so I'll get to that. In terms of the electronic or online registration, I think it's very important to recognize that this is offering another option for registration that is within the current paradigm that we have now of not having to register in person. And that, in fact, Oregon was kind of a leader in allowing registration by mail back in 1975, kind of led the nation. As part of the 1993 National Voting Registration Act, the federal bill, you know, started to map out, you know, that that's an option, you know, almost 20 years after this was kind of the registration by mail. So I think wait a minute, this isn't quite so different. We already have this kind of general concept of doing something. So that's one important point. I think the other is that I would characterize it as probably more secure, particularly with as was described by Secretary of State staff, you know, this whole notion of you kind of go through a sequence of screens and you can't get to the next screen until you fill out, some appropriate responses to the key requirements, for example, age and whatnot. I think the question that came up about security and all that stuff is a reflection of this has got to get something, this stuff does have technical details, it's got to get worked out, and that I feel, just as like the previous testifier kind of mentioned how Washington State is dealing with stuff, that, you know, there's the groundwork has been laid to work it out, and that the Secretary of State's office, is working closely with the DMV. So I think that's feasible. And the other angle to this is I think this would be a helpful step in easing the burden on election administrators regarding management of the voter rolls, because it actually facilitates that somebody's name is on the DMV list and the voter registration database in the same way. And in fact, HAVA, specifically authorizes and encourages cross-referencing with DMV as part of, like, elections administrators keeping those up to date. And so this actually will facilitate that those names match. And I can offer as a personal experience, and I have no recollection about why this worked out this way, because it was a while ago now, but my driver's license has my full name, including my middle name, spelled out, but when I register to vote, I just use my middle initial. So, you know, it hasn't been an issue, but if for some reason there was some question about, like, who I was, and the state elections folks, as they're authorized and encouraged to do, was trying to cross-reference with DMV, I just made it more difficult for them. And this would actually kind of simplify that process. I think it's important to characterize this as not like a total panacea. You know, there is a digital divide, but it's a very important step, and so I'd urge support for 2386. Regarding 2387, I actually really was just viewing this as kind of enabling. You know, had some of the same equity and other questions that came up earlier, but really enabling a county to deal with, like, the situation in Lane County. And I really appreciated, obviously, getting the factual background on that, as well as the reference by Representative Edwards on, you know, there may be other ways to get at that. So I think my support for that is to get at an interest in enabling, giving counties the flexibility to deal with those kinds of, you know, anomalies that come up. Not necessarily support for the bill exactly as written, so I really look forward to seeing your proposals on that score.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you. I'm Dave Rosenfeld. I'm Osberg's executive director. We obviously have a long history here in the state of caring about getting more young people and just people in general registered and participating in the political process. We have worked for 25 years with the Oregon Student Association, the bus project, registered tens of thousands of young people to vote. Nationally, before I moved into this job, I was the director of the PIRG New Voters Project, which is one of the country's oldest and largest youth voter mobilization programs. We registered over 700,000 18 to 29-year-olds to vote since 2004. And so obviously we care a lot about voter registration. We care a lot about online voter registration, too, because in this last election cycle, we had some good experiences with a prototype of online registration, which is basically using the same type of technology that Rock the Vote used to allow people to register to at least complete a voter registration application online. It's not true online voter registration, because then people still have to print some and send it. But to the extent that it was an opportunity, about a quarter of the registrations we gathered in this last election cycle were collected via that method, and so we found it was quite popular. I have really absolutely nothing else to add that has not been already said today, so I won't. I will just say that one thing that we should pay attention to as we move forward in implementing an online registration system is that the presence of the opportunity to register to vote online alone will not guarantee that it will be used. Our experience in doing our online registration program in this last election cycle was that of the 30,000 registrations that we gathered through the online method, They were gathered at hundreds and hundreds of colleges and universities around the country that placed a link on highly trafficked websites. Most of them came from just a handful of universities, most notably Rutgers University, which really went all out and placed, and that's my alma mater, so I'm very proud of that, but which placed it on literally every single highly trafficked university website, including Blackboard, which some of you may not be familiar with, but it's literally now the portal that all students use to do everything, basically. That says something, though, that it has to be there and it has to be in front. So what I would advise is that as we move forward with this, either be a statute, or it probably doesn't have to be statute, that we encourage or require state agencies, including colleges and universities, but not limited to them, to actually place a link to the Secretary of State's website so that you know that it's going to be used. If we do that, I feel very, very confident that this will result in much more political participation, and so in that way, we're supportive of it. So that's all I have to add about that. I share Janice's same concerns about 2387 on the face of it. It seems like it's a perfectly good idea. Through this conversation, I share the same conclusion. And then regarding Election Day registration, we've long had a position in favor of that. In my written comments, I outline what we see as the next wave of things that we need to do to streamline voter registration in general. You'll see that I outline EDR as the backstop to essentially what we ought to be putting in motion over the next couple of years. And thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes, Representative.
Has it been the experience of anybody in a state that already has online voter registration that it cuts down on the amount of phone traffic into a county elections department just by people calling to check and make sure that they're registered because perhaps they have an email receipt that they've registered? I mean, As I've been listening to this testimony and thinking about it for myself, I know that I've wondered at times, well, just to make sure that I'm registered. And of course, as a candidate, I have access to the voter file and I can check myself to see if I'm registered to vote. But if I didn't have that, I would be on the phone to county elections to make sure. And with our other systems, like our contributions and expenditures
right.
forms that we do through the Secretary of State's office, when we make that filing, we get an email that comes back pretty quickly. And so I have the confidence that they have indeed received it and are processing it versus sticking it in the mail and hoping that it gets there and hoping that it gets processed and waiting. You know, so have you had any feedback? Or
Chair Rowland, Representative Edwards, my suggestion is to touch base with the Secretary of State's office folks who have been in more contact with the states that have dealt with this. But it is important to also recognize that one thing that I got geared up for this election cycle is you can go online and check your registration status now. So in terms of somebody not having to call, that's already kind of in play through the, like I say,
you can check that now, currently.
Yeah, online.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah. So that's
learning something.
So I think that's another piece of this puzzle of kind of heading in that direction. Presumably that helps, you know, deal with the workload issues on the county level. But I think you say that the Secretary of State folks may have more nitty-gritty, like, you know, how that's already helped as well as how it's played out in other states.
Other questions? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Next, Arthur Towers and John Gear. Might as well just go with two because that works out pretty well with those two.
For the record, my name is Arthur Towers, Political Director for Service Employees Union Local 503. And we simply wanted to register our support for House Bill 2386, electronic voter registration. I'm happy to answer questions, but that mercifully concludes my testimony.
Any questions? I think you got that point clearly across.
My name is John Gear. I'd like to be as brief, but I have a little more than that to say. I'm here on behalf of the Election Integrity Caucus of the Democratic Party of Oregon, and of which I am a member and a longtime student of election methods. I should tell you, start with a story. When I was serving as an enlisted man in the Navy, one night at 2 in the morning, I got a growl to come pick up a set of orders and found out that I had been awarded a scholarship to go off to college on a Navy ROTC scholarship. And within a week, I had packed everything I owned into a Volkswagen and was driving out to start my freshman year. In the middle of October that year, I was still looking for a permanent address and trying to deal with all these women around me all the time and just having a new experience in life. And thank God that I was in Wisconsin, because by the time I beamed on to the fact that there was an election and that I needed to participate, I could. And it was a wonderful thing to go and leave the housing I finally found and walk across the street to an election center, register and vote that day. And I was very proud of that opportunity, and that's probably why I've never missed an election since, including voting by mail from overseas. I think I can sum up by saying my attitude is that we should get the same treatment as voters that we have as stockholders. When we take stock in a company, they are required the burden is on the corporate directors to find me with the ballot and with the proxy statements so that I can exercise my rights as a shareholder in that corporation. I ask you, as the directors of one of the boards of the corporation we call Oregon and the larger corporation we call American, to give us that same respect as the shareholders in America and take that burden off us to affirmatively find and keep finding that registration opportunity. Make registration, I would say, make registration the default. I mean, nobody should get out of high school without being registered as a function of graduating from high school, would be my statement. Certainly you should have online registration. Of course you should. And you should be able to register today, as I was, on the day of election, because my vote should be able to be counted regardless of whether I was just dropped into the state and became a resident or not. Registration requirements are holdovers from the days of a restricted franchise and placing burdens in the path of people who wish to vote. I can get a mortgage online in an hour. I can enlist in the military online. I could start the process, and I can be out through it in no time. And as somebody mentioned, you can register for selective service. There's no reason not to have registration online. I was reading over the clerk's arguments against same-day registration, and I have to say I'm appalled. The indictment, the clerks make an indictment against their failure to take responsibility for registering everyone in their counties. If they're being swamped on election day by same-day registrations, it's because they didn't do their job in the time leading up to election day. And I really urge you to consider carefully what it means that they say they cannot accommodate the citizens who want to vote if they want to show up. I'll just close by saying I've never been asked to register to pay taxes, and I wonder why I have to register to vote. Happy to take your questions.
Any questions? Seeing none, thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next we have, it looks like, Georgette Brown and Jan Coleman. And Steve Durkin-Miller.
Chair Roblin and committee.
Thank you for being here.
It's been a long afternoon, I know. We'll try to be brief.
Okay.
First, we just wanted to speak on 2387, and I think it's been mentioned. Our main concern is because so many of the counties are so down on finances now, and they don't have any extra money for anything.
Georgia, you need to identify yourself for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Georgia Brown, representing the Oregon Clerks Association.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, as I started to say, my main concern on 2387 and the postage is that so many counties just don't have any extra money these days at all. In Little Josephine County, where I came from, where I was the county clerk, just if we had a 50% turnout, it would approximate about $15,000, which doesn't seem like a lot of money, but when you're scraping for every nickel and dime, $15,000 is a lot of money. And if we had an 80% turnout, like we've had close to the general election, it would be like $25,000. And so the thing is, if Josephine County decided they could not afford it and the county next door could afford it, that's not the same for all the voters. And really, we're charged in the laws with having uniform application of the Oregon laws for everybody. So that's all I have to say about that one.
You can talk to any if you wish.
No.
Okay.
I'm Steve Druckenmiller. I'm the county clerk from Linn County.
Pull a mic right over to you. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I'm generally the clerk they don't want to show up to talk. And when I'm done, you're going to know why. And I try not to, because inflicting myself on others just isn't a lot of fun for me or them. If I had to describe myself as a county clerk and my politics, it would be as my son said to me after he read the autobiography of Bobby Kennedy. It was that, hey, you're Bobby Kennedy who never evolved. And that's who I am. And when I went to work 25 years ago in the elections office of Linn County, I held some very different opinions than what I have now. One of them was vote by mail. I was adamantly opposed to vote by mail, even though the man who hired me is the one who brought it to Oregon. I was also opposed to any cutoff. I had been a political activist in college. I had registered voters in Massachusetts. I was also head of an organization called 18 by 72, which was to lower the voting age to 18 by 1972. So these things, I hear many of the young people here, and I'm glad to see that they came to testify. It's a testament to this legislature that they feel welcome to do that. That do you become jaded? Maybe I did. Because I was also here during the Rajneesh. They came down to Linn County, and it wasn't just elections, public records law, and these were professional people. They were lawyers, doctors, and they were trying to jam up the system as best they could. They would have been successful in turmoil for the Oregon election system if they hadn't been so blatant about what they did. They advertised what they were going to do, and that's the only way that we were able to counter that. And as a result of that is why we came up with the 20-day registration cutoff. But first, if I could, very quickly on the postage issue. You know, again, it sounds like a really great idea. And if we had the flexibility that we used to have in elections, I suppose it would have been. But now we have a new standard about treating our voters all the same. And if you could just imagine for a moment, Linn County shares a city with Benton County, city of Albany. Now, Benton County, despite what they tell you, they really are a little bit more flush with money than Linn County. They also have a little bit different body of commissioners. And if for that city, that part of the city that was in Benton County had their postage paid for them, and that part in Linn County did not, you can see that we could have a discrepancy in how the voter is treated within a city. We also share special districts. It is not just a white and black issue here. You know, there is a great deal of gray that I really would hope we would examine before this was put in to statute. Electronic registration, I think it's great. I really do. But be aware of, like everything else, there's a downside. Just, you can see a lot of people left here. So what happens in Oregon is you have registration drives and the like that drives up the registration for certain elections, primary and generals being the main ones. After this general election that we just concluded, we'll be going into a May election. School districts, water districts, fire districts will be on the ballot. They'll be looking to have levies approved, bonds approved, and we have a double majority issue in Oregon that in order to not only receive a positive vote for something to pass, that you have to have the 50% turnout. And I can tell you that it is very difficult to reach 50% in those elections under the best of cases. And if your registration has been inflated because of great interest in the election before it, it's about impossible. We've had sheriff's levies that failed, even though they passed, because of 50%. So just be aware that things on our side when we come to you with these things, it sounds like we're opposed to everything. And we're not. It's just that it's our lives, and we've dealt with these problems, and we try to show what the downside to many of the issues are. And when we weigh them, we don't always agree with the proponents of it. I would also like to just kind of take exception with some of the testimony about what the clerks not doing their jobs. You know, I've been doing this. I've been elected 6 times by my county. People I've worked with are marvelous people. We care more than anybody else about getting people to vote. We care so much that even in what is referred to as a blue-collar, redneck county, Linn County, without having to, we've worked to do things to reach out with alternative language ballots. We hand-deliver ballots to people. We pick up registrations by hand. We do everything we can to assist people in registering to vote. And for me, that, of course, reaches back, as I told you, to when I was in college and the things I did there. So to say that we haven't done our jobs because we can be overwhelmed is not accurate and simply isn't based, I think, on experience. And if that belief is held, I think visits to your county clerk's offices would change that. We are finding ourselves overwhelmed in many cases with ballots at the end of the election that we're trying to deal with, where we're helping people who are updating the registration. And let me assure you that all we are really speaking about here are people who have yet to register with the 20-day cutoff. Once you are registered, you can come into the elections office up to 8 o'clock election day, update your registration, and get the correct ballot. And the correct ballot is important because we're not only charged with assisting people to vote. We want the integrity of the elections to reflect that people voted on those issues and those candidates that they're entitled to vote upon. When, going back to my quill days, I went to work in the county clerk's office. We had poll elections. And we had election day registration. I saw why the concern for having both those things together, because we would accept registrations and issue ballots on election day, and it wasn't necessarily intentional fraud. It's inadvertent fraud where the addresses are wrong, and they can be wrong with a DMV. You know, 6th East Street is a lot different than 6th West Street from city council races on up. And In many cases, and I do mean many cases, after we sent out those, we now call them voter information cards, but we used to call them memorandum cards in the old days. After the election, we would get a stack of those back from people who came in and got ballots on election day, and they come back from the post office and said, no such address. I couldn't believe it. And when I would take those to my predecessor, he'd say, okay, you know, what do you want to do about it? And you are so overwhelmed, there's not much you can do. But one time, I grabbed a handful of them, and I went out to find these addresses, and they were not there. So one of the state senators at the time, who was a great proponent of 20-day of election day registration, I delivered these to. And he called my employer. He was outraged that I had done that. But I wanted him to see, these people are not there. Now, whether it was intentional or inadvertent, I choose to believe it was inadvertent, wrong addresses. So what happened? The ballots were cast on many issues from city council races on things that they shouldn't have voted on. So for a handful of people here, we are jeopardizing the integrity of the system for all. And I would respectfully suggest if there is a need for this, that it appear on the ballot not from the legislature, but let those who believe there is a need go through our petition process and put it there. From an election point of view, it's not good election procedure. I think we can reach people a different way and sooner. We're talking about the electronic registration. There are things that we can do, yes, not just the county clerk's offices. But, Mr. Chairman, I would respectfully request this committee not to just take this and put it back out on the ballot. That let there be real interest generated as to why, because with election updates, very few people are deprived of ballot. And I thank you for indulging me. I promise, you know, Jefferson Smith said it was his first time. I can tell you in the 25 years that I've been county clerk, I've only inflicted myself on these bodies probably a half dozen times, and you probably won't see me again for a long time. Thank you.
Representative Gelsberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank you all for waiting through a long hearing to be able to offer your testimony. And I recognize the significant work that takes place in our counties to make sure that we have fair elections and that all of the folks are served. And I particularly wanted to thank you, Mr. Druckenmiller. I was having a hard time saying your name. I'm sorry. For the efforts that you made to provide ballots in alternative language formats. I know that you took quite a drubbing for that in your community, but I think that the impact of that was bringing more people in to be engaged in the process who had the right to engage in voting in a fair election process. So thanks for going out on a limb to do the right thing in that case.
Thank you, Representative.
And I would encourage, I think many of the people up here have already done that, but I have taken up your request, you know, your offer to go to my clerk and watch what they have to do before, after, and during the election. And there is a lot of activity going on, and they take it very seriously. And so I, too, commend the clerks and the people in the counties that I represent and the work that they do, because it's pretty remarkable how much stuff they have to handle in a short period of time. And I guess the other thing I would say to you in your early opening comments, as a high school principal, I used to tell the people who were the best for me were those that didn't necessarily agree with where I wanted to go, because it was their suggestions that oftentimes made the real solutions come forward. When everybody agrees to the same thing, we end up going down a road sometimes that's not been very well scouted, and it creates other kinds of problems. So I, for one, and I know many of the people here, really do respect the people who are willing to come up and say an opposite opinion, and that they have behind those opposite opinions the reasons for why they're doing that. It can inform us as we make, hopefully, better rules and laws in the state of Oregon. And so without the full participation of people, this process doesn't work very well. It takes everyone coming forward and giving their opinion. So I appreciate that. And the clerks have been very, very good at making sure that their voice gets heard over the years. So I appreciate your association. For a very few number of people, you have a very loud voice at times. So recognize that we do understand that, and we appreciate the efforts and the work that you do. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Seeing none,
Roland, I think that Georgette and I did want to offer a few more things.
Well, you can go ahead.
Okay,
please.
If I may.
Sure.
Thank you. I'm Jan Coleman. I'm with Yamhill County, and today representing the Oregon Association of County Clerks. And we did give you some information. Right. If you didn't already receive it, it is on the table. And I just wanted to tell you that I'm a survivor of same-day registration. actually, I started 26 years ago in elections, 1983, and my first election experiences were same-day registration. And I had gone to school when we actually had prior cutoff and then came to work when we had same-day registration. So my real experience the first time with it was in 1984 in the presidential race. It was not pretty. I just have to tell you, I guess we're a nation of procrastinators, and I have to say that I do it too. But the last day for people to come in, at that point we were a polling place election, and we were trying to issue people to go to the polls. We had to fill out forms that came in on that day to send those people to the polls. We were trying to do some people absentee ballots and the whole thing. And we managed to keep up, but there were long lines at 8 o'clock in our office, at the polls, and so forth. So this is one thing I want you to be aware of, that even with vote by mail, if people wait to the last minute, same day registration, they're going to have to be coming into our office, and we're going to have long lines again. So, you know, with vote by mail, we don't have as much of that. We can have last minute people coming in to update, but we don't have near as much as if they were coming in to register. So I just want to bring that to your attention, that we're going to be back to long lines again. The other thing that I wanted to tell you was that in 1986, that was when we had ballot title 13 and we went to the 20-day voter cutoff. It was voted in, yes votes receiving 693,000 as opposed to 343,000 in opposition. So it really was voted in by a large margin. And one of the chief complaints against putting that to 20 days that would be that there would be fewer eligible voters registered. Well, in 1986, with same-day registration, registration was at 77.4%. In 1992, with a 20-day cutoff, it was at 82.39%. And at 2000, with the 20-day cutoff, it was 81.10%. So last day registration really didn't make that much difference. Those are the main things I had to say. As Steve brought up, we do send memo cards, voter notification cards, to people when they register. And actually, even today, a lot of those come back with bad addresses from the people who even update at the last minute.
Any other questions? And I guess the other thing I would say, the one thing that I have noted with the clerks, having been on this committee now for a couple terms, is that when we pass laws that even if they don't agree with, they do work very, very hard at making us look good afterwards. So we appreciate that.
Thank you.
So we understand that you do what you're expected to do, and we oftentimes don't make that the easiest job for each and every one of you, but we appreciate the work. And I appreciate all of the students that came today to testify. And I guess the last thing I will say is that, as I excuse you and say thank you, I see no more questions. Is there anyone out there who signed up that I didn't call or didn't sign up who would like to testify on any one of these three bills or resolutions? Seeing none, that's very nice. Looks like we got through the whole list. So I will close the hearings on House Bill 2386, 2387, and House Joint Resolution 5. Are there any questions or anything from the committee with respect to things? I will try to get out to you in the next little while, electronically or to your offices, the kind of little work plan so people kind of know what's going on. And if you have any questions about that or if there's anything that you would like to note, let me know. As I mentioned earlier, Friday we do not have a meeting. We have also put on the schedule that we will not have meetings the following Friday. As long as we're doing the couple days we're going to be meeting in the others and not doing it on Fridays. When we start going to the everyday floor sessions, we may be moving that up. But for right now, I think we're in pretty good shape that way. Anything else? Okay. Then the House Committee on Rules is adjourned.